We now begin the 8th chapter, Maseches Zvachim. This is Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph 8:1, and the topic of the chapter is what happens when an animal which was designated to be a carbon, let's say it was designated as an ola, gets mixed up with other animals. So then, what do you do with the mixture? How do you deal with that situation? So, our first Mishnah will discuss three cases. The first case is that the mixture includes one designated animal and one animal which is Aser Bahana. You can get no financial benefit from it whatsoever. In that scenario, there's no solution to the problem. Essentially, the mixture must be left to die. You can't offer anything because maybe you'll be offering the invalid offering, and you can't wiggle out of that anyway, really. The second set of cases will be where the mixed-in animal is Mutter Bahana. You can get economic benefit from it, but it's invalid to be used as an offering. Then you have a mixture, you can't use it because maybe you've got an invalid offering mixed in there, and therefore what you'll have to do is wait till the animals get a blemish, a mum, and at that point you can sell them, each of them, or both of them, however many there are of them, get the money, and then use that money to purchase replacement carbonos and bring those, because the kedusha of the carbon can be transferred to money once the animal has a mum, a blemish. The third possibility is that the mixed-in animal is just a regular animal, in which case you don't know which is the real carbon, but you can find a second person who needs the same type of carbon, and then you bring two carbonos of the same type, saying Reuven and Shimon are here, one of these is Reuven's Ola, one is Shimon's, you don't know who's who, but it doesn't matter, you know, we'll bring them for whoever has to be brought. That's the overview of the Mishnah. Inside we have a bunch of specific cases. So I said the first set of cases is when you have the animal that get mixed in is Aser Bahana, forbidden to get any benefit from whatsoever. So what's that? It says, Kol hazvachim shnez arvu b'chataos hamesos. If the animal that get mixed in is either what's called a chatas, one of the chatos hamesos, one of the sin offerings that must be left to die, o b'shor haniskal, or literally a ox that has to be executed, which means any animal that killed a human being and was tried essentially in court and sentenced to die. We'll explain both cases in detail in a moment. So then, if you have those two cases, so both the chatos hamesos and the shor haniskal, they're both aser bahana. You can get no benefit from these things whatsoever. And therefore, filu echad beribo, even if you had somebody, let's say, committed 10,000 animals to be olos, and then on 10,001st one gets mixed in, and that mixed in one animal is one of the chatos hamesos or it's a shor haniskal and the like, then yamusu chulam, they're all, the whole mixture, whether it's 2 or 2 million, are all left to die. So let's just take this apart now. First of all, what are the chatos hamesos? So there's a halach lamush misina which says that in certain scenarios, you can't bring this animal as a chatas. Instead, you just leave it in a room with no food until it dies. Nothing more you can do about it. What are those cases? There are really five. And they come up a number of times throughout Shas. The first is a vlad chatas. If an animal designated to be a chatas, a sin offering, gives birth, so now you have, what do you do with this new child? That must be left to die. Tumuros chatas, if you essentially do tumura, you try to exchange the chatas with some other new animal. Now, the replacement also is left to die because it can't be, you can't offer it also. Then you have chatas shemesu baleha. What happens if you essentially, the person who designated the animal to be his sin offering, he dies. So you can't bring the animal for nobody and he's already gone. So therefore, that chatas is left to die. Then you have chatas shehiskafru ba'alea ba'acheres. If somehow the owner already got kapar with a different chatas, like just, for example, he sets aside sheep A as a chatas, and then he misplaced it, so he gets another sheep and brings that as a chatas. Now he finds sheep A. What did he do with it? Too late. He's already got atonement from a different, so therefore it's left to die. And the fifth case is a chatas she'ne'evra shanasa. It's past its year. In other words, it's too old now to be brought as a chatas, so now it's just left to die. So in those five cases, nothing can be done. Halach l'mishra sinai. The animal's put in a room until it dies. That's that. The shor haniskal means really, it's a technically translated, it means a ox that has to be stoned. But they just, if any animal kills a Jewish person, so then essentially it's brought to trial, and you'll have two witnesses testify. We saw that whether it's an ox or whether it's a chicken or whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference, kill a human, a Jew, and therefore they'll run a court case, and ultimately they'll sentence, the Bezim will sentence this animal to be executed, and it'll be stoned to death. Once it's been paskened, it's been ruled in the Sanhedrin that's set up here, it could be a Sanhedrin of 23, so once it's been ruled that it has to be executed, so then it's considered a shor haniskal, and an animal that's destined to be executed, and that being the case, it becomes asur b'hana. You can't get benefit from it whatsoever. So that gets mixed in with the others. Again, it'll be, none of them can be brought, because maybe the one you're bringing is the shor haniskal, and therefore they all are left to die. Technically speaking, you could actually just leave them to graze, never have to, you know, put them in a room with no food, or so on and so forth. But this is dindur rabbanan. We're concerned that if you leave it around long enough, it'll get mixed up, an accident will happen, therefore just get them to die, you know, sooner rather than later. So, says the Mishnah, in those cases, afilu echad beribo, even if you have one in 10,000, still, they all yamusu kulam, they're all not usable. Now, the general rule from the Torah is that we go after the majority, acharam lahatos, meaning, if you have a mixture, and the mixture contains two types of elements, so we say that the status of everything in the mixture goes after the majority element. Okay, so in this case, if hypothetically you had two kosher olos and then a third animal, which is mixed, you know what it is, so we'd say, listen, the older mixture has the status of kosher ola. That's the Doraisa position. Midurabanan, there are certain types of things which are devarim she'enem misbatim, things that cannot become batel, cannot lose their identity to the mixture, because they're, in the eyes of Chazal, too chashuv, too significant. And a classic example of that is a beria, an entire creature. So in this case, a whole sheep, whatever it is, or goat, cow, whatever it is. So the whole sheep can't become batel, can't lose its identity because it's too significant. And therefore, one sheep in the mix, so the whole now mixture now can't be treated as the majority because it has this significant animal mixed in. So the Mishnah is saying here, even if it's one in 10,000, it doesn't matter. There's no bittel, no annulment of status, identity with respect to the majority of the mixture if you're talking about something as significant as a whole live animal. Or whole dead animal, for that matter, but this is a live animal. Okay, so in that case, yamusu chulam, they're left all to die in a room with no food. That's cases number one, you know, A and 1B, if you will. Now, case number two. These are the cases where the animal is indeed mutter bahana. There's no financial restriction on getting benefit from it economically. However, these animals are going to be animals that cannot be used as korbanos. They're invalid to be used as an offering. And therefore, again, you have this, you know, ola designated as an ola, get mixed up with another sheep, you don't know which is which. Since the other sheep now can't be brought as an offering, neither animal can be brought as an offering, so then you have to come up with a plan B. And plan B is going to be, you leave them till they get a blemish from their grazing, they just wait till they get a blemish, they get their cataracts, whatever the story is, and then you'll sell these animals, get the money, and then use the money to purchase a new replacement, whatever it is, ola and the like. Okay, says the Mishnah inside. Nisarvu b'shor shenevda bo avera. If you're, in this case, an ox, which is designated, let's say, to be an ola, or could be a shlamin, whatever, gets mixed up with another ox, and that second ox had some avera done to it. We'll see the list of avera shortly. Or, O Shehemis says Ha'adam al pi Erechad, or al pi Bailim, or it didn't have an avera done to it, but it itself killed someone. But in the case where you can't execute the animal, it's not subject to actually skila for stoning, because either A, we only have one witness, not two. So one witness says, I'm telling you that that's Reuven's ox and it killed Shimon. We're not going to kill the ox because we haven't got two witnesses. We can't convict like that. But it does make Reuven's ox now forbidden to be used as a korban. Or Alpi Bailim. The Bailim means that Reuven himself says, he goes to Bez and says, listen, my ox killed Shimon. What now? So in that case, the answer is, well, the ox will not get executed, but it's no longer valid to be used as a korban. Why is the person admitting the confession, if you will, of the owner of the ox change things? So Rashi learns essentially that the nature of the execution of the ox in this case is essentially a kanas, a penalty administered by the courts, and the rule in general is the modal b'kanas pater. When you admit ahead of time to your penalty, you don't actually then have to, you're exempt from the penalty. That's what Rashi learns, and the bartender goes with Rashi. Tosfos Bava Kama says, I don't know where Rashi got that from, there's no source anywhere that says that it's a kanas, who says it's a penalty, the execution of the animal is something else. So therefore, Tosos learns the issue is simply that the owner is an invalid witness. He's an aid puzzle because he's testifying about something which is like his own money, which is like he's like kind of like a relative to it. He's a, you know, he's a nogei b'davar, he's got a vested interest, not valid as a witness, and therefore his confession doesn't allow for execution. Whatever the case is, these are examples where the animal is not asur bahana, it's not a restriction of getting benefit from it, but you cannot use it as an offering. As far as the averas go, so we got a list now. So we have barovea uvenirba. If the animal was part of like a bestial act, rovea means that the animal was the male and the human being was a female, or nirva, that would mean that the human being was a male and the animal was a female, that renders the animal unfit to be brought as an offering. Now, the truth is actually that the rovea nirva animal is actually executed if you have witnesses, but here the case is, let's say, you have one witness, so that's not the case, but it's still forbidden to use now as a korban. Or uva muktza uva ne'evad, if the animal was either a muktza, which means, of course, like set aside, like in Shabbos, but it means the animal was designated to be used as an offering for a pagan, you know, an idolatrous offering. So, you know, they're planning on, the idol worshippers are planning on, you know, midnight tonight, bring this sheep as a sacrifice to their avodah zarah. And so let's say they shear the sheep in preparation. Once it's been sheared as for preparation, that makes it now invalid to be used as an offering to Hashem because it was designated as an offering to the idol. Ne'evad means the animal itself is worshipped. So it's a cow. It was in India and people bowed down to it as a holy cow, making it now invalid to be brought as an offering. Usually, things that are worshipped directly, like if you have a whatever, an idol or whatever, a book, doesn't make a difference, that was bowed down to and worshipped as an idol, there's actually a requirement to destroy it. You can't get benefit anymore. It's asur bahana. But that doesn't apply to living creatures. So since this is a living cow, it's not subject to becoming asur bahana and to be destroyed, but it is to become certainly no longer eligible to be used as a korban for Hashem since it was worshipped as an idol. Then you have uva esna uva mechir. So this is really referring to actually two mitzvahs. It's in one pasuk. The pasuk says, lo savi esnan zonu mechir kelev beis Hashem lokecha. You're not allowed to bring an animal that was either a esnan zonu, the payment to a prostitute for her services, or mechir, that's something that was a mechir kelev, if someone was buying a dog. So he says, I'll trade you my goat for your dog. So now, good, that works, of course, in barter, but now the goat that was traded for the dog cannot be used as a korban, because, of course, these are the disgraceful things to Hashem. So again, mutar bahana, you could sell them and get money, but you can't use them as a korban. Then you have uva kilayim. If you have an animal who's an offspring, let's say, of a cow and a goat and a sheep, it can happen. Okay, it's highly irregular, unusual, but it can happen. And if it does, so then the offspring is not eligible to be used as a korban. Uva treifa, if the animal is a treifa, it has some mortal wound that will kill it. So again, you can, yes, get benefit from a treifa. You could, you know, sell it to a glue factory and get the money or something, but you cannot, or to a non-Jew for that matter, etc., but you cannot eat it, of course, and it also can't be brought as an offering if it's a treifa. Uba yotze dofen. Yotze dofen in the Mishnah here is referring to an animal that was born, let's call it, but by way of like cesarean section. Literally, yotze dofen comes out of the side. So the farmer, seeing that the cow wasn't able to give birth, essentially performed a C-section on the cow, took the animal out of the baby calf out of the side of the mother, that is not eligible to use as a korban. Nothing wrong with that. It's not kosher or something, but it can be used as a korban, based on a drasha from pasuk. And therefore, these things are all things that can be brought as korbanos. So what do? So you take the mixture that includes the confirmed, designated, let's say, ola, offering, and then the other animal that's mixed in with it, which can't be used as a korban, for any of the reasons we said before. And then you let them yiru, you let them graze in the fields, ad yistavu, until they become invalidated. Yistavu here in the context means it gets a mum, a blemish, like let's say a cataract or something. The literal translation is coming from the word, it's an Aramaic word, it means like tummy. Okay, but the point is that's what it means here. And then once you have now, the animal is clearly a bal mum and has a blemish and cannot be brought as an offering for sure. Now, even if it is consecrated with the kedusha of having designated as an ola, you're allowed to sell it and then take the proceeds from which you get for selling the animal and use it to buy a new ola. That's what you should do, therefore. V'yimachru, you sell both the animals once each one gets its respective blemish. V'yavi b'demei ha'yafe shebehen ma'oso hamin. Now, the oso hamin, the same type, it literally means you'll bring from the money of the nicer of the two from that same type. What's the same type? So when you, let's say, redeem a ola that has a blemish, so the money that you get from selling that ola contains not just generic abstract sanctity, it has like the kedusha of an ola. Therefore, you must use it to purchase a new korban ola. You can't use it to buy shlomim. That's what osa amin means. As far as demei hayafa shebehen, the nicer of the two, the idea is, let's say, at the time the animals get their respective blemishes, you know, one's worth 100, one's worth 200, so you sell them both, and you got, you know, 300 altogether, but now you need to buy one ola. How much you have to pay for the ola? 200. You have to spend the larger amount from the two, because the thought is, if the actual one that was originally an ola was worth 200, you have to use the full amount to buy a new ola. Okay? The third case is what happens if our designated ola, let's say, gets mixed up with just a regular other cow. So you have two cows, one's an ola, one's just a regular cow. What do you do then? Since that regular cow has no restrictions whatsoever, the problem is just simply you can't bring it as the ola because maybe it wasn't designated as an ola. So, you know, the simple solution could be the owner of the ola could say, I'll bring two olas and consecrate the other one as well. But if he doesn't want to do that, so what he can do is he can find someone else who wants to bring an ola and say, listen, one of these two animals is your ola. I don't know which, but the point is buy one of them and then we'll bring two olas, and whoever, when the kohanim bring the ola, they'll say whoever it's meant to be for, that's who it's for. That's what the mission says here inside. It says, Nisar of Bechulin Tamimim. If the designated korban gets mixed up with a similar animal that is just regular chulin, a regular animal, then Yimachra Chulin Litzriche Oso Hamin. Then you sell the chulin, the regular animal, to someone who needs the same kind of korban, and you bring two of the same kind of offerings, and the kohanim will do it in a way, thinking whoever it's meant to be for. That's what it should be for. And anyways, that's how you're supposed to do it. Remember, it's an ibez, and that's how the kohen is supposed to bring it without someone specific in mind. So that's no problem. There could be other problems about, like, smicha, about doing, you know, the process of smicha, laying one's weight on it. But let's save that for the next Mishnah.